Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about too much talk. Well, there's an irony, isn't there? Too much talk, but here I am talking. I have a friend who lives near Boston named Alan Emery. Mr. Emery told me one day something about my father, which interested me very much. I hadn't heard it, but it fit in exactly with what I knew about my father. They were both board members of Wheaton College in Illinois. And Mr. Emery said that in the board meetings, my father would always allow everyone else to have his say. And that was typical. He was retiring and humble, and I would say very courteous. And so he felt that he wanted to listen first to what the other men had to say. And then if there was still something that he felt had not been said, then he would have his say. And Mr. Emery said that, contrary to the rest of the men, my father would stand, primarily so that people would be able to both see him and hear what he said. There's not much point in saying something if people can't hear you or see you. And he said, in a very few well-chosen words, my father would say more than had been said in the whole meeting. That's probably a slight exaggeration, but that was Mr. Emery's impression of my father. He was careful not to indulge in too much talk. Time was valuable to him. He was also deeply conscientious about wasting other people's time. And I've heard of at least one faculty meeting of an institution which shall be nameless, where not only did everything have to be said, but everything had to be said by everybody. Have you ever been in a meeting like that? Maybe a committee meeting that you're a member of? Everybody there thinks they've got to say everything. Doesn't make any difference if it's already been said three times. I haven't said it, so I'm going to say my say. My father didn't waste words. He was a writer, and he was a very economical writer. And he regarded words as tools to be used skillfully and carefully. And I'm thankful for the example that he set for us in that way. I learned recently that men usually speak between 12 and 25,000 words a day. I suppose they're speaking of the average American man. What would you guess women speak? How many words per day? Well, you probably guessed it pretty close. It's between 25,000 and 50,000. Men, 12 to 25,000 words. Women, 25 to 50,000. That's 25,000 to 50,000. Can you imagine? That's the length of a book. A fairly decent-sized book could be 50,000 words. One of the verses that I go back to frequently to remind myself to be careful about the use of words, and when I go to edit the words that I've written in a book or an article, I think of Ecclesiastes 5:2. God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. One time, my brother Tom and I and his wife Lovelace were discussing something about eschatology, I think it was. And if there's one subject that certainly confuses Christians and about which there are an infinite number, it seems, of conflicting views, it's the subject of eschatology. What's going to happen in the future? What about the end times? What about the millennium and the tribulation and what's going to happen in heaven and how many judgment seats are there and what do the horns of Daniel 7 and 8 mean and how do they relate to the book of the Revelation? Well, if you want the answer to those questions, don't bother to listen to the rest of this program, because I certainly don't have them. But my sister-in-law made one of her deathless, quotable remarks. I had mentioned somebody who had spoken for an hour on the subject of eschatology, and with her great ingenuousness, she said, "Well, you can't talk for an hour about eschatology without saying something wrong." Well, my brother and I laughed the way we always do at her and with her, and I thought, God help me, I'm sure I can't talk for 11 and a half minutes on the radio every day without saying a lot of things wrong. I pray that the Lord will keep me from slips of the tongue and from confusions and from omissions and from saying too much. But I do want to tell you this, that I prepare these talks and I pray over them, and it takes a lot of silence to come up with the 11 and a half minutes that I have each day with you. The scripture tells us there are some things that should be covered in silence. The scripture says that there are some things that need to be covered in silence. Do you remember that on several occasions in Jesus' life, when Jesus had healed someone, he gave them a command that they were to keep their mouth shut? Don't tell anybody what I did for you. And there were some other occasions when you and I would say Jesus had a wonderful opportunity to witness. People asked him who he was, and he said nothing. When he was before Pilate, he didn't answer all the questions. The rabbis were always trying to trap him and catch him in questions. And there were times when Jesus answered them with stunning replies. There were other times when I'm sure he must have stunned them by his silence. In Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, we read, "For everything its season, and for every activity under heaven its time." In verse 7, it says, "There is a time to tear and a time to mend, a time for silence and a time for speech." In Proverbs 11:12, it says, "Hate is always picking a quarrel, but love turns a blind eye to every fault." There's another facet of silence. We may see something, but we deliberately turn a blind eye to faults. A man of understanding has wisdom on his lips. And when we don't have wisdom on our lips, it would certainly be a whole lot better if we would keep our mouths shut, wouldn't it? The little book that I've been talking about is called A Lamp for My Feet. It's daily meditations taken from my own quiet time. And my standard is always the scriptures. My model is always Jesus Christ. And although you and I are buffeted about by many winds of doctrine and by many different fashions and many different teachers coming to us with varying and sometimes conflicting views, let me remind you of Hebrews 13, verses 8 and 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not like the daily newspaper, out of date within 24 hours. So, the writer of Hebrews says, "Do not be swept off your course by all sorts of outlandish teachings. It is good that our souls should gain their strength from the grace of God." It is good that our souls should gain their strength from the grace of God. Now, God's grace comes to us in many different forms, but one of those forms is the Bible. And if we don't avail ourselves of that wonderful source of light, we're going to be walking in darkness. In Psalm 62, we read, "My soul waits quietly before God." In verse 5, "Leave it all quietly to God, my soul." F.B. Meyer wrote, not always talking to him or about him, but waiting before him till the stream runs clear, till the cream rises to the top, till the mists part and the soul regains its equilibrium. That's the end of the quotation. Natural processes always take time, don't they? Can we expect spiritual processes to happen all at once? They take time, too. And as natural processes usually operate in silence, so ought spiritual processes. God hath spoken once, said the psalmist. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. If God has spoken once, isn't it worth my hearing twice? I found a little note in my Bible written back in 1948, next to Psalm 62, verse 11, reminding myself that the reason that the psalmist heard was because he was silent. The psalm begins with, "My soul waits silently before God." Are you guilty of too much talk? I am. I mouth off and pop off and spout off about all sorts of things that I really know next to nothing about. I pray, Lord, set a watch on the door of my lips. Deliver me from the urge to open my mouth when I should shut it. Give me the wisdom to keep silence where silence is wise. Remind me that not everything needs to be said, and that there are very few things that need to be said by me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.